Welcome to episode 1404 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. We live in a culture that is fundamentally hostile to the seventh commandment. Our culture does not support faithfulness. Our culture actively works against it. Consider the forces arrayed against sexual fidelity. Media that constantly presents attractive alternatives. Advertising that suggests happiness comes through consumption and conquest. Entertainment that normalizes infidelity and portrays it as exciting rather than destructive. Social media and dating apps that make it easy to maintain emotional connections with multiple people. Technology that makes pornography accessible with a single click. A broader narrative that says, follow your desires, life is short. Why deny yourself? All of this creates pressure. Constant pressure toward unfaithfulness. Constant temptation. Constant suggestion that the grass is greener elsewhere. And the culture has redefined relationships themselves. Relationships are no longer primarily about covenant. They are about what you get from others, lasting only as long as they are satisfying. The moment they become difficult, the moment someone better comes along, the moment the relationship requires sacrifice, you move on. This is the logic of the marketplace applied to the most intimate human bond. It is the logic of consumption applied to love. What is remarkable is how normalized unfaithfulness has become. Not just physical infidelity, but emotional and digital unfaithfulness. Emotional infidelity, maintaining a deep emotional connection with someone besides your spouse, sharing intimacies with them that should be reserved for your marriage, is increasingly common, increasingly accepted as normal. Digital infidelity, viewing pornography, engaging in explicit conversations online, maintaining flirtatious connections through social media, is seen as harmless. Everyone does it, people say. It's not like I am actually cheating. But these forms of unfaithfulness have real consequences. They fragment the heart, divide loyalty, create emotional distance in marriage, normalize the habit of seeking fulfillment outside the covenant. And the culture tells us this is fine. Tells us it's normal, tells us monogamy itself is unrealistic, that humans are not wired for faithfulness, that the attempt to remain faithful is doomed to fail. Along with this normalization of unfaithfulness comes a redefinition of what relationships are. Relationships are no longer seen as covenants. They are seen as lifestyle choices. You choose a relationship as long as it serves your interests. You exit when it no longer does. This affects how people approach marriage. Marriage is increasingly seen as a trial period. If this does not work out, we can always divorce. The permanence that once characterized marriage has given way to provisionality. This affects how people approach sexuality outside of marriage. Sex is increasingly disconnected from commitment. It can be casual, recreational. Sex does not require love or covenant or even genuine relationship. This affects how people navigate temptation. If your marriage becomes difficult, if you encounter someone new and attractive, if someone offers excitement and newness, why not explore it? Why remain bound to something that is no longer working? This is the logic of the consumer. The consumer does not stay loyal to a brand if a better brand comes along. The consumer does not remain committed to a purchase if something more satisfying becomes available. The consumer's loyalty is to satisfaction, not to commitment. And this consumer logic has invaded marriage. Marriage is treated as a consumer good. Your spouse is treated as a provider of services. When they no longer satisfy, when someone else seems more attractive, when the excitement fades, next. What is the cost of this culture? What happens when faithfulness is no longer supported? When unfaithfulness is normalized? When relationships are treated as provisional? Marriages become fragile. People do not invest in making their marriages work because they know they can exit. The commitment required for a marriage to deepen, the sacrifice required for genuine intimacy, the work required to get through difficulty. All of this is less likely to happen in a provisional relationship. Children suffer. Children need stability. Children need to know their parents are committed to each other. When parents are constantly tempted, when infidelity is normalized, when relationships are provisional, children experience instability and insecurity. Communities fracture. Strong marriages are the foundation of strong communities. When marriages are fragile, communities become fragile. The mutual accountability, the modeling of commitment, the intergenerational transmission of values, all of this breaks down. And individuals suffer. Even those who are unfaithful suffer. They may experience momentary excitement, but they also experience the spiritual cost of division. They experience the shame of deception, the emptiness of relationships based on consumption rather than covenant. In this context, faithfulness is profoundly countercultural. To commit yourself to one person, to remain faithful even when tempted, to refuse to fragment your heart, to treat your marriage as covenant rather than contract, to say no to the constant pressure to seek something better. This is not easy. This goes against the grain of culture, requires discipline, intention, requires that you prioritize your marriage above your own impulses. But notice something remarkable. While faithfulness is difficult in a culture that does not support it, faithfulness is also deeply freeing. What happens when you commit yourself to faithfulness? When you decide your marriage is permanent, that your spouse is your choice, that infidelity, in any form, is off the table, something unexpected happens. You become free. You become free from the constant comparing. If you have decided your spouse is your person, you no longer need to constantly evaluate whether you could do better. You no longer need to fantasize about alternatives. You no longer need to keep your options open. You become free from the anxiety of seeking satisfaction elsewhere. If you have decided your satisfaction comes from your marriage, from your covenant, you no longer need to seek it from pornography or emotional affairs or flirtation with others. You can focus your energy on deepening your actual relationship. You become free from the shame of deception. When you are faithful, you do not have to hide, do not have to carry secrets, do not have to live a divided life. You become free to be vulnerable. When you know your spouse is committed to you, when you know they will not abandon you for someone more exciting, you can truly open your heart. You can reveal your full self. You can experience genuine intimacy. You become free to weather difficulty. When a marriage is difficult, and all marriages are difficult at times, you do not flee. You stay. You work. You allow the difficulty to transform you and your marriage. And on the other side of the difficulty is a deeper love, a love that has been tested and proven. This is what the seventh commandment protects, not restriction, but freedom, not the prevention of pleasure, but the deepening of it, not the suppression of desire, but the formation of desire toward what is life-giving. How do you practice faithfulness in a culture that works against it? You must build counterculture. You must create structures and relationships that support faithfulness. This means building marriages intentionally, having deep conversations, investing time and energy, serving each other, building genuine intimacy so that infidelity becomes unthinkable. Not because you fear the consequences, but because you have something so good that you do not want to jeopardize it. This means creating accountability. Having people in your life who know you, who know your struggles, who can speak truth to you, who can help you when you are tempted. This means being intentional about what you allow into your mind. Choosing media carefully, using filters and boundaries, protecting your gaze and your imagination. This means reframing how you think about temptation. Temptation is not inevitable failure. Temptation is an opportunity to practice faithfulness. Each time you say no to temptation, you strengthen your commitment. You train yourself toward fidelity. This means understanding your why. Why does faithfulness matter to you? Why have you committed to your spouse? Why is covenant important? Hold on to these reasons. Return to them when tempted. In a culture that normalizes unfaithfulness, in a culture that fragments the heart, in a culture that treats relationships as consumer goods, faithfulness is profoundly countercultural. It requires swimming against the current. It requires intention and discipline and accountability. But it also produces something the culture cannot offer: genuine peace, genuine intimacy, genuine love. Father, help us resist the pressure of a culture that works against faithfulness. Help us understand faithfulness is not restriction, but freedom. Help us commit ourselves fully to our covenants, refusing to fragment our hearts or our loyalty. And help us become witnesses in a fragmented world to the beauty of covenant love. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.